Good morning. This morning, if you want to be turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, we'll be teaching out of Galatians chapter 6 this morning. While you're turning your Bibles, I'll kindly tell you why I'm here in this chapter to teach. The last little while, I've been pondering on a few things that Brother Billy has been preaching on and teaching on. He asked a little while back when he went through Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. He kindly mentioned all the people mentioned in that chapter, and he kindly asked us who, in our minds, who sticks out in our mind out of each of those people in our own lives. And a lot of people answered different things. And, you know, I'm usually most of the time one of the oddballs in the way that I answer, because I kind of look at things a little different, I guess, than what some people do. But, you know, when I was looking at those, I look at myself and I think of Noah. And a lot of people would be like, why would you pick Noah? All he did was just build the ark and that was it. And then, I mean, all these other men went through all this other stuff and all the things, and Job and all these guys through the Bible. People talk about Job all the time being one of their main people because he suffered so much. But my thing with Noah is I look at Noah as the guy who focused on his family and took his family into this ark. And when I think of that, I think about how at my home, my biggest thing is to make sure that my family is able to be saved when it's time to leave this world. And, you know, sometimes I think of that and I think, well, maybe I'm selfish. But, you know, if we're all selfish and we think about our own families, then everybody's family gets to go home and be with the Lord. You know, sometimes I think about pastors, ministers, evangelists, those guys who's out teaching and preaching all over the world. Sometimes those guys don't get time to spend with their own family. And that's another reason I had this thought on my mind today. You know, Brother Billy's getting to spend time today with his family. And as a minister, I think that's very much needed. Because a lot of times they get to worry about all of us, but they have to forget about their own family. And you know, families are important. But also today I want to kindly talk about the difference in our physical families and our spiritual families as we read through this passage of Scripture. You know, in this passage of Scripture, it's very well known. Most people can quote quite a few verses out of this passage of Scripture because it's used quite often. But, you know, I find an odd thing in this passage of Scripture as I read it. If you read in verse number 2 and in verse number 5, verse number 2 says, bear you one another's burdens. Then you get down to verse number 5 and it says, for every man shall bear what? His own burden. Why in the world do we have that all in the same chapter? And it's exactly the opposite of what one says going to the next one. We're going to kindly talk about that as we go through here. So let's read this chapter and then we'll kindly go through here and I'll point out a few things, but mostly just give a few thoughts along with the verses that I find that go well with some of these. And I'm going to point out a few phrases and words out of these verses as we go. Verse number 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And we're going to stop there in reading. This passage of Scripture really come heavy to my mind even after this weekend as I started thinking about, as I told you about how I feel about the way I feel about Noah and all those things and families. We had our family together this weekend at my house for our Christmas together. And, you know, it's always a great blessing to be able to see families that can come together and be able to get together and have a good time together and fellowship together. And a lot of times you don't have families that are able to do that. And I always count that a blessing. I've talked to so many people who almost regret having to go be with their families. And that's a sad situation in my mind. It really is, because on both sides of my family, my wife's family and my family, we're both very close families, and we all like to be together and have time together. But a lot of families aren't like that. They hardly ever want to even go spend time with their family. They're just out on their own, and they want to be by themselves, and I find that to be sad myself. But I want to get us to think about not only our physical families, but we need to think on this, as I'm teaching through this, our spiritual family. You know, I read this and it says, I'm going to start backwards and go back from verse 10. So if you want to start back at verse 10, we're going to go backwards in this chapter and kind of do this backwards, which is another odd thing because I, like I said, I like to do things odd sometimes, but most people like to go from verse 1 and on, but I like to do things a little different. But I'm going to start at verse 10 and go backwards in this chapter and kindly teach through this as I go backwards. And I'll have a reason behind that as we get to the end, if you'll stay with me, and hopefully I can get it out the way I want to. It says in verse 10, it says, As we have, therefore, opportunity. Opportunity is the word I want us to look at in that chapter. How many of you ever stop and think about the opportunities that are placed before us on a daily basis? We have so many opportunities that we let just go flying right by. And if we're really honest, most of the time we let more opportunities fly by than we ever grasp a hold of and just let them go. Opportunities are something that's very important because God puts those opportunities in front of us for a reason. But yet, most of the time, we fail to use those opportunities the way they're supposed to be used. And the reason I teach a lot of times is because I teach about me. Stuff that I teach in classes, whatever, it's usually my life that is shown to me how I should be living to tell others. But I know when those are shown to me by God, it's not just me, because we're all the same. We're all sinners. We all fail. We all have problems. We all do things wrong. But I find it helpful how they get to be enlightened to me to be able to share with someone else. But opportunities we miss very, very, very often. And we really need to stop and start thinking about the world we live in. We don't have time to keep missing opportunities. I mean, all we have to do is look around us and see the sad shape that this world's in and understand that we shouldn't be missing those opportunities. Because just like Brother Junior just said this morning, that may be the last time that we get to hear that story read. Because that could very well be the last Christmas that any of us get to see inside this building is this year's. And to be honest with you, we don't have no promise of even seeing that day even fulfilled, because it's not here yet. So we may not even have an opportunity to actually see that day. But what we have to focus on is what we do have time for, the opportunities that do come. That's the opportunities that we need to be focusing on. See, a lot of times I think that's why we miss opportunities. Because we want to look out into the future and say, okay, this is going to happen on such and such a day. And I'm going to prepare myself for that day. What happened today? What happened yesterday? What's going to happen tomorrow? We miss those opportunities. And we really need to focus on those. Now I'm going to go, I want you to think about the word opportunity. I looked up in a dictionary. Brother Junior always talks about looking things up in the dictionary and trying to find definitions. I like to do that as well and then compare it to what I think it means. But, you know, opportunity in a dictionary says that it is a chance. I don't find it to be a chance at all. I find it to be well meant. I think God actually puts those opportunities purposely in our lives. I don't find no chance in it whatsoever. The part of the chance that you can look at in that definition would be, is there really a chance that we're going to seize that opportunity? And that's the way I look at that definition. But you know, in verse number 7 through 10, we're going to kind of just bunch those together with this opportunity. And it talks about reaping what we sow. You know, the way that we sow is how we take advantage of the opportunities that we have in our life. You know, a lot of times we look at ourselves and we think, well, I did this and I did that and I did this. I'm going to reap from that. But that's not the full in-depth of what we have sown. You know, sometimes if you go out and you sow a garden and you're placing seed, how many of you have ever seen something just wildly of the same exact thing you put in this row, it grew in this row over here? Sometimes a seed falls in a different spot that we didn't even notice it even fell, and it'll grow. You know, our opportunities, I think, are the same way. You know, a lot of times I think we give up on our opportunities because you've tried for so long to talk to someone, or you've had to deal with somebody for so long and you feel like they're just ignoring you. And then you feel like, well, that opportunity wasn't for me, and then you just try to move on. You know, later on down the road, a lot of those people, I mean, you may not know it now, but there's been a lot of people that's been saved because of other people talking to them in years past. It don't have to be today. It never says in here that the sowing is going to be done today and the reaping is going to be done the same day. It never mentions that nowhere in the Bible. So we have to understand that when we're out sowing, don't give up because you've sown today and you don't see the product tomorrow. But that's what we do a lot of times. And that's the reason I feel like, as Christians, we lose a lot of opportunities. Because we start letting ourselves get discouraged to think that we're not doing well enough because we're not seeing nothing out of our sowing. So don't let yourself quit in your service just because you're not seeing the result. There's results that's happening all the time that we're not seeing. And I believe if you read through the Bible, God clearly shows us many times that there's going to be greater rewards later on because we stay faithful in our sowing and clinching on to those opportunities that are given. I want to go to verse number 5 now and think. I told you that verse number 2, verse number 5, kindly speak the opposite of each other. So I'm going to start at verse number 5 first and tell you why I'm going backwards once I get back to verse number 2. Verse number 5 says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." You know, there's a different way to look at burdens, just like there is talking about families. I think we have, physically, we have personal burdens. Spiritually, we can have personal burdens. So you can look at a burden as a physical sense or a spiritual sense. And, you know, I'll go back to what I said about Noah again. Me, personally, I feel that when I had my children, those became my burden. And I don't want to describe that as a physical burden. Because I love every one of my children, and they never were a burden as far as me raising my children. I loved raising my children. But in one sense, they are a burden. Because in my heart, they're a spiritual burden. It's my responsibility to see that those children were taught what this book says and to learn who Jesus Christ was. It wasn't your all's responsibility to teach my children that. I've grown up my whole life in Sunday school classes, and I love Sunday school classes. I think every child should be in a Sunday school class. I don't think there's a greater teaching for children than a Sunday school class, in my personal opinion. And I've always thought that, because you get lessons from the Bible that really stick in kids' hearts and make them start thinking deeper into what the Bible is and who Jesus Christ is by those little stories they get to start hearing when they're little children. You know, I think of stories just as simple as Jonah and the whale. That sounds like a fun little story. But when you get older, that story means a whole lot more. Realizing who God was and how he saved Jonah from that whale is more important than a little fun story that this guy falls off of a boat and gets swallowed by a whale and gets spit back out. That's what we take it as a child. It's fun. It's interesting. But as you grow older, you start putting the pieces together. There's more words in that story than just that. That's part of our opportunities. So when we're bearing our own burdens, I think we need to realize how important that scripture is to what our burdens really should be. See, I think a lot of times, even in my life, I think of when I'm having some kind of trouble, things aren't going my way, I start feeling like I'm burdened down. But I don't have to be burdened in that sense. When we have a spiritual family, there's no reason to be burdened. And we'll see that as we go on up through these scriptures that we're going to be reading. Because we are all the same family, in the same boat, doing the same work. And we can help each other with all those burdens. So as we think about those burdens, I want us to think about when we bear my own burdens, how can I bear my own burdens? What must I do to be able to bear my own burdens? I told you there's a difference between a physical burden and spiritual burden. You know, I can't bear my spiritual burdens without having spiritual life. First, I must be a saved person to be able to bear my own spiritual burden. You know, if I was not a saved man, it would be hard for me to raise my children and try to teach my children right if I'm not living right. So that spiritual burden cannot be accomplished and taken care of without me being a spiritual person. So first, I feel like that we need to understand that I must be a saved man to be able to bear my own spiritual burden. If you are writing notes down, if you want to write down Romans chapter 14, I think it'll describe to you a little bit of what I'm saying on these three points that I'm going to bring about my own spiritual burden. In chapter 14 and verse 11, I think it'll describe to us the fact of how we must confess, because it says in there that we must confess our sins. Verse number 12 of that passage of scripture, it says that I individually am responsible for answering for myself. There's none of you in this room that once judgment comes that are going to be able to stand up in the back and say, hey, I seen Ricky do that, and that wasn't what happened. I have to answer for those, because God knows exactly what happens. He don't miss anything. So I'm responsible to answer for myself. Verse number 13 of that, it talks in the end of that verse that I shouldn't be a stumbling block. How many times have we stood in the way of somebody else? You know how we become stumbling blocks? We don't seize our opportunities. And then we become a stumbling block to somebody else. Then we'll go up to verse number 4. And in verse number 4, It says, but let every man, and I'm going to pull out this phrase, prove his own work. I want you to think about how you can prove your own work. 1 Corinthians 11:28, and I'm just going to give you just an outline statement of it. I'm not going to actually read all these verses because I won't have enough time to get back to verse 2. But 1 Corinthians 11:28, I want you to think about how we should examine ourselves. You know, in that passage of Scripture, it tells us that we should examine ourselves. And it's a very important thing that we do that daily. You know, a lot of times I think we wait until we get into a crisis in our life, or our life feels like we're at the very bottom. And then we want to start thinking, oh, what do I need to do? What did I do wrong? How do I fix it? Then you start examining. Have we ever thought that if we would examine daily, how sometimes we could bypass some of those situations we get ourselves in? You know, those things come in our life for a reason. We get tried and tested because we start falling off the path. And that's the only way we can get pushed back over on the right way. We have to have those. Like I said, we're all human. We all do those things. We all have the same mindset. We're all flesh. You know, flesh is dangerous. Because if you take your eyes off of God for a very short second, your flesh can go wild in a hurry. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in many others' lives. It don't take long. You know, just like the little short time that we were out of church and everything was done on camera, I'll be honest with you, the last couple weeks, 3-4 weeks of it, I didn't watch it on camera. I started feeling like I wasn't getting anything from church at all. It's not the same as coming here and being able to physically sit here and feel the Spirit together as a group. Amen. That camera don't work that way. And I started getting to the point that it wasn't really doing nothing for me. And I'll be honest, I just quit watching it. I had to try to read on my own, try to do, but it wasn't the same. And I can be honest with you, if we'd stayed out much longer, it may have been to the point that you could just straight out. And I mean, that's the way I felt. Church to me is very important. I need it. We all need it. We need to be together because that's how we can bear our own burdens. We stay physically strong. We stay spiritually strong. But if we're not spiritually strong, physical means nothing. You know, our physical lives, we may be sick, we may be down, we may be out. I've seen some of these, Miss Terry's example, she mentioned it in her thing the other day. While she was sick, if it wasn't for people praying, how would you have felt? If we don't have spiritual strength, we're done. Because as a human flesh, we will give up, we'll quit, we won't fight, and we're done. We need good spiritual help. So we have to remember to examine ourselves. And then the next one I got from that same thing of prove your own work is Romans 12:2. We need to renew our minds. And that's where I was talking about. We need to do this daily. Every day it's important for us to get into His Word and get something to get our day started, to strengthen us spiritually to where we can handle the physical day that's before us. We need His strength to be able to get through each of these days. Verse number 3, it says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I want to pull out that little word, think. You know that word, think? It says in the dictionary, it says to have an opinion, a belief, or an ideal about someone. But I want you to think even farther than that. When we think, we need to have that opinion about ourselves. We need to understand who ourself is. So often I think we start worrying about the people that sit beside us in church and what they're doing that we lose sight of ourselves. And you know, most of the time when I've done that in my life, I end up being worse than the person that I'm talking about that sits beside me. Because I forget about me and I let my life go. And I'm worrying about trying to think, well, I'm going to say something to help so-and-so. And then I've went the opposite way. And I'm worse than I ever started out being. So we need to keep ourselves focused on ourselves. It says in that verse, we'll read, if you read on past Romans on chapter 12 that we just talked about at verse 2, if you'll read the next few verses that go through 3 through 8, verse 3 will talk about being soberly. That's very important to have that mindset when we're serving in God's house. You know, so many times we come here and we start coming to church services, and I think we get to a point that we are just coming because we're used to coming. Then church service for us becomes pretty much nothing. It becomes a habit. We should come to church every single Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, all of our revivals. Anytime we walk into these doors, there should be a great reverence in our heart to know that we're coming to serve this God that we're talking about. That our hearts are set and ready before we ever come inside to serve. You know, a lot of times we don't, I've been guilty. I'll go through the whole entire service, and at the very end, I have to come here to the altar because just then, my heart's got right to be ready to serve. Because I've been shown throughout that whole entire service that today was a habit for you. And you come here out of habit. So I have to come here and repent and be ready to start serving. Because I let myself get to that point sometimes in my life that it becomes a habit. Verse number 4 through 6 of that passage, it talks about the members and how we're all members of the one body and how we should do the part that God has for us to do as a member. Now, what if this whole side of the church over here, as members of the church come, and every one of them was nothing but feet. And this side over here was nothing but hands. How would our service go? There would be nobody talking, nobody listening. None of the other parts of a member of a body would be taken care of because all we have is feet and hands. God appoints to each of us an individual specific thing that he would have us to do. We all have different talents. We all have different ways that we can do things. Some people say, a lot of times I hear people say, well, I can't sing. Well, I can't either. But I do it because I love the Lord. And I want to make that noise because he asked me to. I don't get up here to sing with these young people because I think I can sing. I get up here to sing because I enjoy singing about the Lord and letting them learn what it is to serve the Lord. It's not about the voice. I hear some people say, well, I can't do this because I've gotten older and I'm not able to do. There's not one person in this room that can't pray. We can all pray. We all should be praying all the time for each other and all the people around us. There's something that we can all do. And the other thing that I find in our church services is we get to a point where once we have this particular thing that we do all the time, that's where we want to stop at. We can all do more. You know, I've sat in this church since 2008 and been serving, sitting basically in that same section of this church that I've been sitting in. And I've seen men that done jobs here that has passed on, gotten older, gave their jobs up because they didn't feel like they can do them correctly. And I've seen next men step up and take those jobs. You young guys sitting back there in the back, you may not have a specific job in the church, but you need to be preparing yourself for one. Because some of these guys that can't do it someday, they're going to need you to take their spot. Today, for example, our pastor's gone. Somebody has to fulfill in. Thankfully, we have a young man in our church that's able to do that. You don't always have that, but you do get that opportunity, and we need to use it. One of these days, it may be one of you guys that God has for that position, that he may need you to fulfill the spot. And you need to be ready to do that. We all need to be ready. Just about a month ago, we started talking about getting things ready for Sunday school classes. We had a big group of people that come over here and said they're willing to help in Sunday school classes. These would be willing to fill in if this one couldn't make it. It's always good to have people that's able to do that. Our singing, Brother Jesse's been leading in our singing. Our song leader's been out for probably close to a year because of a health issue. It's good that we have somebody that's willing to be able to fulfill those spots. We all have to be ready to do something different. We're not here just to be one single thing all the time. Sometimes you're going to be asked that you may need to do something different. We have to be ready to fulfill those spots when it comes. The next thing I think of when I think about the word think is verse 7 and 8, it talks about the word cheerfully. Don't ever just do a job in church just because Brother Billy says, hey, will you do this? If you're not going to do it with the right heart, the right spirit, be cheerful about it. Me personally, I would rather see you say, no, I don't think I can do that. Because you know what we do if we don't do those jobs cheerfully? We hinder the spirit for all these people right here. If I just came here today and taught Sunday school just because they said, hey, I really need you to do it because Eric's going to preach today, so we'll give him a break on Sunday school. That wasn't the way it went. I gladly went and said, hey, let me do Sunday school to give you a break so you can preach the services this week. And I'm not saying that to brag, but I'm saying that for the fact that we all need to be willing to do things for this church because this is all our church. This church don't belong to Brother Billy. This church don't belong to Brother Junior. We're all one body here, and it's all of our responsibility to see this church do what this church needs to do. So we all have to be ready to do those parts. Then in verse number 2, I'm going to try to finish up here before I run out of time. I'm about to run out. It tells us there, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And real quickly, I just want to talk about that phrase, the law of Christ. And then I want to talk about the bear ye one another's burdens. The law of Christ, I looked in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, and I got these few little things out of there. It's thinking about, it tells you to love your enemies, number one. How hard is it to truly love an enemy? You know, sometimes people do things to you, get you aggravated, and the last thing you want to do is ever speak to that person again sometimes. But the Bible teaches that we should love that person. Not only just your enemy, but it goes beyond that and says, bless them that curse you. That starts making an enemy a double enemy in my book. Because I don't like for someone to use words toward me that are not necessary. That really aggravates me. Matter of fact, I quit a job one time because the supervisor used a curse word. I walked out the very minute he cursed. I'm a man, you're a man, we're all adults, let's talk things out like adults. That's the way I look at life. I don't believe that cursing is never necessary to get a point across if somebody's done something wrong. The next part of that I want us to think about is, it says, pray for them which despitefully, not just those that use you, but it even has this big word in there that makes it even worse. that they're despiteful about it and they use you. That to me, I mean, that's somebody who really hates me to go to that extreme, to be that much against me. But yet, what am I supposed to do? Pray for them. You know, we see it happen in churches. We see church splits because somebody gets mad at the person that sits beside them. Then the next thing you know, 10 people leave because one went and told this, this person did all this, and they dragged people out. Do you think God wants that, if he wants us to pray for the ones that's not in our church, that is despitefully using us, those who are being against us, those who are cursing us? Surely if he wants us to act this way toward the lost people out there, how much better should we be acting toward our church family that we sit with every Sunday? And that's what I want to talk about bearing someone else's burdens. Yes, I can bear my own burdens, but I need my church family to help bear those burdens. You know, in verse number 5, I told you it says to bear his own burden. And then we went through all this and we described that as a church family, we are what? One body. So if I'm bearing my own burden, guess who is bearing my own burden? You guys. Because we're one. If we're a true church family, we are one. That way you're bearing my burden, even though I'm bearing my own burden. And I think that's what we can get from part of this scripture in our minds if we really think about how this scripture is written out. You know, it can be confusing when you read and it says, okay, every man bears his own burden. But yet the first part said, bear ye one another's burden. And I got to thinking about why would that be written in the same exact passage of scripture? And that's one of the reasons I feel like that's written that way. Because if you all are truly a part of the same body that I am as a church, I think I'm still bearing my own burden with your help. And I want to be the person who helps bear all of your burdens. Because I feel it's necessary. Just as these have given in their testimonies, the prayers of our church mean so much when somebody's going through a hard time. There's nothing greater than having people who are willing to pray. This prayer list that goes on this table that people write prayers down on, and people take those home and pray over those, I have no doubt that those prayers are being heard over that list. Praying is very important. Really quickly to close, verse number 1 says that if we be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. How many of you have ever looked sometime and seen somebody's life and something happened in their life, and the first thing you do, kindly judge that person, say, why? Why in the world did they do that? We're all guilty of that. We've all done it. But what are we supposed to do? Spirit of meekness, what's that mean? I should humble myself to a point that I say, Lord, only you can take care of this person. I can't fix people's problems, but I can pray for them to the one who can fix their problems. And I know without a doubt, if my life is like I said through all these 10 verses, and I've took care of myself, I've focused on myself, I've had myself right, I'm living right, I'm looking to the Lord like I should, the Lord can take care of their problem if I pray. So let's bear each other's burdens by being able to make sure we are ready so we can all help together in our churches. We cannot have a good service here unless we're all ready to have that service. Let's close this morning in a word of prayer. Lord, we do come to you today. We want to again thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the day. Lord, I do pray that you just lead, guide, and direct through the rest of this service, Lord. And as Brother Eric comes this morning to preach, Lord, I pray that you just touch his heart, give him the very words you'd have us to hear. Lord, we do pray most of all that if there be one here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that you would touch their heart. Lord, I pray that you would just deal with them so bountifully that before they leave this house today, they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. We do love you, Lord, and we ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.